Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
For all those men listening in, I have a special announcement that will give your balls goosebumps. So I don't know about you, but I get pretty sick and tired of changing my razors and trimmers to groom my body hair and my balls. So I wanted to introduce you to the new and improved Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Now, I know many guys listening into this podcast have probably seen me topless on social media, and they'll know that I'm quite a hairy dude, whether that be due to my genetics, being half Italian, half Lebanese, or because I maxed out my testosterone to 988 nanograms per deciliter. I don't really know, but the fact is that I have a lot of body hair, and it's always been a struggle for me. So the Manscaped 3.0 features a cutting-edge ceramic blade, which actually reduces the grooming accidents and has a pretty long battery life as well, lasting up to 90 minutes. It also features like a unique LED light as well, so that you don't ever like miss a patch of hair. So I'm a huge fan of the Manscaped 3.0. So I have a special discount code that you guys can use. If you go to manscaped.com, you can get 20% off plus free shipping by using my code Lucas10. That's LUCAS10. Go to manscaped.com and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping by using my discount code Lucas10.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas and I am the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode. All right, everyone, welcome to yet another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today, I have a special guest in with me. She's also from Melbourne, so that makes it easier with like the technology and things like that. So today, we're going to be discussing all things nutrition, fat loss, sustainable change, habits, mindset, and all those things related to high performance and I guess good health in general. So Laura, did you want to introduce my listeners on my end a little bit about yourself?
For sure. So hi everyone, I'm Laura. So I run my own business, Laura Morell Wellness. So I specialize in, my main goal ending yo-yo dieting for women. So that is my ultimate goal for pretty much all women. So my big passion and focus is trying to educate women about their bodies, educate them on sustainable fat loss. So basically how to get healthy fat loss, because that definitely is possible, how to maintain that afterwards as well, and how to make it a lifestyle. So in this society, unfortunately, it's very extremist. So I'm pretty much bringing balance to all my girls. So my background, I'm a nutritional practitioner, functional nutrition. So my whole goal is to identify core root issues and be able to address them. So not just sort of masking symptoms. So I run my business and majority of my clients are women. So
awesome. So you obviously touched on something that I guess I've seen a lot of as well, and that is the all or nothing sort of mentality that a lot of us have in regards to like training or performance and things like that. And of course you'd have a wealth of experience personally as well in that regard. So do you want to sort of touch on that all or nothing mentality that a lot of us have?
100%. So I am someone who used to be an all or nothing personality. I was very much an extremist. So it's pretty much going to a hardcore diet and then last as long as I could before the binge eating cycle began, and then just falling off the rails and then waiting for Monday to have to start again. So I did that cycle for quite some time. And unfortunately in society, this is quite a common trend that I see with women. And it does come from a few things. So one, your like perfectionist type mentality, have to be 100% or nothing, is quite detrimental to especially females' psychology. So it's about understanding balance and being 80 to 90%, which will get you further towards your goal, instead of being 100% and then nothing for 2 weeks, 6 months, a year, and then having to start again. So that's something to be super mindful of. And this is pretty much why I started my whole business, because it's just absolutely crazy the percent of women who really struggle to understand fat loss, but also suffer from that extremist mentality. So can't get past that sort of 1 week to 2 weeks.
Yeah. So what about the, some of the implications and some of the, I guess, the negative effects that can occur, particularly for women, even in relation to like their hormonal health, when they go to such extremes, such as like extreme caloric restriction, things like that?
So many implications. So first, the main implication I address with women is the psychology of women of women who experience this. So if you're constantly sort of that yo-yo dieting, you're causing a really negative mindset, and it's very, very hard to get back onto track. So one thing I always say is make sure that you're addressing the psychology before you even start a fat loss journey. So touching on things like self-love, really understanding why you're getting into a fat loss phase. Why do you feel you need to lose weight? Why do you feel you need to diet? Understanding the why behind or before going into a diet can be really, really sort of important to understand, because some people diet for the wrong reason. So that's the first thing. Not only that, if we're not getting enough nutrients is what enables so many processes in the body, especially for a female. Like our menstrual cycle is so integral for our health. It's pretty much our health marker. And if we're experiencing things like loss of period, like amenorrhea, or irregular cycles, or PMS symptoms, these are all red flags of health concerns. So unfortunately, it's become normalized to have all these symptoms. And or you go to the GP and they just put you on the pill. So that itself can cause a lot of other issues. So it's just like a bit of a cascade. So it's super important to understand that we need to be looking after our hormonal health. So if we're not getting enough fats, enough protein, enough carbohydrates, we tend to start down regulating all our hormones, which then lead to so many other symptoms. And then we end up trying to mask all those symptoms without addressing the root cause, which generally is chronic under eating. So that's probably the main things we need to address when we go into deficits for a long period of time.
Yeah. And what about when they sort of want to like bounce back and recover from that, I guess, intense, like extremist and that sort of abuse on the body, how do you go about like restoring that balance, and like how long can it take?
Yeah. So the first thing you want to do is find out exactly where your body's at. So I do like to get, and first thing before I say that is your perception of eating. So a lot of the time people think, oh, but I'm eating so much food and I can't lose weight. But then when I actually get them to track their food, they're eating bugger all calories, like 1,100, maybe 1,400 calories. But they feel like they're eating lots of food. So perception of eating a lot is completely warped. So that's the most important thing I would address before anything. And then the second thing I would look into doing is called a reverse diet. So basically it's slowly increasing your calorie intake to a healthy set point. So for example, we need at least like 1,500 calories to even produce hydrochloric acid in our stomach. So if we're going on a 1,200 calorie diet, we're causing ourselves digestive issues. So it's super important to be able to reverse diet. And of course, if we're going down, you know, the 1,200 or low calorie, less calories mean less nutrients as well. So reverse dieting is such an important part. And I would say 99% of my clients that come to me, the first thing I do is reverse diet them up. Otherwise, they're metabolic. They've gone through what's called metabolic adaptation because they're so used to being on low calories that the body's adapted to that and they do struggle to get fat loss. So if you're on 1,400 calories, where do you go? 1,200, then 800, and then you end up just eating air. So it's extremely frustrating, and this is what causes a lot of sort of that binge eating cycle as well. So reverse dieting is the first thing I go through. But whilst reverse dieting, it's addressing mindset, because you can't just expect someone to, I'm going to increase your calories, but if you have a fear of food, then you actually metabolize. So for example, if I was eating a meal and I have a negative view on it, thinking, oh my God, this is going to make me fat, that actually changes the whole way that your body metabolizes that food, as opposed to looking at it, salivating, excited to eat it. It goes through much different sort of pathway to digest the food. So you need to address the mindset and educate people as well, which is what I do, educate them on what exactly is happening inside the body, what exactly this meal is going to do, why you need these nutrients. So at least that way, when they're eating the food, they'll have such a good sort of digestive way of processing the food. So that's a super important thing as well we need to address.
Sure, yeah. What about in relation to, we're going to go a bit deeper into like some of the macronutrients and specifically the ones that most people fear like heading into a diet. So do you want to like explore maybe like a little bit on the you know, protein, fat and carbs, like how people respond to them generally?
For sure. So I'll start with carbs, because that's probably the one where people are most afraid to eat. So I get my girls to like track their food before coming on board, and 9 times out of 10, it's very, very low carbohydrates, or they try and avoid bread, try and avoid rice or anything that's a carb source. So carbs are so important for so many different things. The first thing we need to understand about carbs and why there is a fear of it is because it is hydrophilic. So carbs do love water. So basically they're like best friends with water. So your body holds water when you eat carbs. Is that body fat? No. You would generally look leaner. But what happens is we're so addicted to scale weight that we jump on the scales and our scale is up. So then we think, oh, I've put on weight. So that's the first thing to understand. And this is why the keto diet has such a profound impact in society, I guess you can say, because as soon as you remove carbs, you're removing the water weight as well. So when you do start a keto diet, yes, you can lose quite a substantial amount of scale weight, but that's not actual body fat. That's purely water weight coming off. So that's the first thing I would say about carbohydrates. It's so important. If you're someone who's stressed as well, you need to have it in. I don't know how many girls have taken out carbs and they get high anxiety, high amounts of stress. They become very like moody as well, because carbs do help produce tryptophan, which then helps produce serotonin. So it's super, super important. And that's what helps us sleep. So for example, someone who is quite stressed, I would generally give them like a carb backload approach from the afternoon, and save their carbs until nighttime, introducing fats as well, so it doesn't spike the blood sugar. But at least that way it can help with their sleep. And of course, if we're looking at fat loss, sleep is so important. So we want to be making sure that our nutrition is supporting that as well. And then if we go into fats, fats are so important for hormonal health. So a good way to think of it is, for a female, we want at least 0.7 times your body weight in fats for a minimum just to be able to have good hormonal health. So when we think about our sex hormones, we think about progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. So they're the hormones we want to make sure are balanced. So that's super important. So again, we need to have fats. It helps make cholesterol. Cholesterol is super important for the body. There's so many important things that it does that we need to be educated on. So definitely for our hormonal health, to ensure we have a regular period, we have a healthy period as well, we need to make sure that we have substantial amount of fats in our diet. So you want to make sure you're getting them from good sources. So avocado, nuts, good sources of oil. So avocado, coconut oil, try and stay away from like your sunflower oils or your vegetable oils. So again, just learn what's good for your body and learn what's not so great for your body. And then you've got protein. Protein is the one thing that girls just do not eat enough of. So again, when I get my girls to track before coming on board, probably on average, it's 40 to 60 grams per day that they're eating. Unfortunately, what we are taught as well, even going through like courses I've done, they say you need at least 40 grams, which is absolutely not true. So there is conflicting information out there. So I can understand how hard it is to know what to eat. But we do need to be eating at least like 2.2 times your body weight, anywhere from sort of like 1.8 to 2.2 times your body weight, I would recommend as a minimum of protein. And that helps with, obviously with protein, we have essential amino acids and non-essential amino acids. We need to be getting the non-essential amino acids from our protein sources. So animal proteins will be your best friend. Yes, I work with a lot of vegetarians, and my whole goal with them is to educate them why we do need animal sources. If it's for moral reasons, that can be a little bit harder, but it's super important to understand that animal sources of protein are where we get a lot of the not only amino acids, but things like our neurotransmitter production, and that's going to all help with our sleep as well. Good sleep equals fat loss. So eating more will be your best friend, and making sure you're eating enough of protein, fats, and carbs. So that's sort of like a basic overview of how I explain it to my girls without getting too sciencey, just so, you know, you can understand that you do need to have every single like macronutrient in your diet.
Yeah. It's so important just to really respect each and every one of them, because they all do serve a purpose. And like any sort of diet that is absolute too extreme, is going to result in issues like downstream and cause an imbalance somewhere else. And I'm so glad that you brought up sleep being so important, because like ultimately that's going to be dictating someone's insulin sensitivity the following day and even their cortisol response as soon as they wake up. And I found it really interesting, you know, because you brought up the carb backloading strategy. That's something I've been playing around with personally in the last maybe couple of months. So what's your rationale there? Like why would you implement that, and under what circumstances?
Yeah, so one, I really have to understand my client's psychological state, not only their internal thought process, i.e., what they think of themselves. And you'll hear me talk a lot about self-love on my Instagram. I talk about self-love and how you feel about yourself and confidence a lot more than training. I very rarely even post training, even though I specialize in biomechanics. So for me, that's ultimately the biggest thing. So I definitely want to understand how my girls are feeling about themselves, because for example, the body can't tell the difference between stresses. So if I was being chased by a tiger, my stress response would be going straight into fight or flight mode. So that same response happens even if I have a thought like, oh God, I look fat today, or God, look what rolls on my stomach. Bang, cortisol, same production. So you're basically sending the same response as being sort of chased by a tiger. So the most important thing is mindset and addressing your thoughts. So even if you have the world's perfect diet, you're in a deficit, you're sleeping well, but you have negative thoughts, it can spiral a whole cortisol effect and affect fat loss. And not only that, it's just exhausting having to diet when you're constantly thinking negative about yourself. So that's the first thing I address, is definitely the psychological aspect of my clients. Then you want to sort of understand what environmental triggers that they have. There's over 1,000 triggers of pretty much cortisol. So, for example, you have work pressure, financial pressure, home pressure, and then you've got dietary sort of triggers. So you've got gluten, dairy, inflammatory foods, foods that you're intolerant to. So there's so many triggers. So you need to identify what is the cause of your stress personally. It's not one size fits all. So once I've identified what type of stress it is, I can then address their core issue with their stress. And if I know that they're not sleeping well, then I'll start to include a little bit more carbohydrates in the afternoon and nighttime to just get improve their serotonin. So a really important thing to understand is if we're constantly in chronic stress, we deplete our B vitamins, which is essential to the precursor to be able to make serotonin to be able to sleep well. Now, if we have a poor diet and we're not getting B vitamins, then we're stressed on top of that. It's just a whole bomb of explosions going on in the body. So you want to address it one thing at a time. So one psychological, and then you want to figure out the exact triggers that's going on. And then you want to make sure your nutrition is on point as well. And that's when I'd start to include a little bit more carbs later on in the day, which you need to be able to understand why you're eating it. Otherwise, if you just said to someone that's never eaten carbs before, here's all your carbs at nighttime, they're going to freak out. So education is definitely the most important part.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What about touching on a little bit in relation to, I guess, like reliance upon the patient's symptoms versus blood test results? You know, like there's always a clash there between like, oh, do I get testing done or would you rather just proceed and we'll just evaluate things as we go? What's your sort of stance in regards to like undergoing blood tests work?
100%. So do I incorporate it in my coaching? Absolutely. But the first phase is just cleaning up someone's pretty much lifestyle and nutrition. So if you came to me and you've got not great nutrition at the moment, your sleep's pretty poor, your stress is poor, I guarantee you your blood markers are going to be all over the shop. Hormones will be downregulated, inflammation markers will be up. So before going into that, you want to develop a good foundation first. So my phase one is always building that foundation. So there's no point getting tests done and saying, okay, well, these are all your markers. This is the nutrition you need to be eating. But they don't have a foundation of understanding how to eat correctly, how many meals per day they need to eat, just creating habits in general. I think a lot of people have poor habits and they need to understand the science of creating new habits and breaking poor habits as well. So you need that foundation. So my foundation first is building all of that, get them into a healthy lifestyle, get them building sustainable habits. That way, when we go down the path of having blood tests and they would have changed. If you had someone that came to me, had bloods, and then you go through phase one, cleaning up the nutrition, get bloods again, it'll be very different. So first of all, just clean it all up, then get bloods, and then you can really identify any issues that are sort of ongoing as well. So I do implement it, but it's more down the second, third phase if they have chronic symptoms that we need to address. So if they've got those symptoms, it's important to understand the core issue instead of just, okay, I'm constipated, bang, here's a tablet, it's going to help you go to the toilet. Not treating the core issue whatsoever. Again, it's just treating a symptom. So blood tests help you sort of identify, and it's like a puzzle. And this is what I love about blood tests. And I work with, you know, Holly Sinclair, love her. So every time I have a client, it's like working out a puzzle of, okay, these are all the symptoms and trying to figure out what the core issue could be, because a lot of the symptoms can cause another symptom, which causes another symptom. And then it's just a whole mess. So identify the root core issues by blood test is a really good way of sort of optimizing your health.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that approach. I guess like blending in that, understanding the patient, their symptoms, and sort of matching it. And it really is a puzzle. It is like you're trying to, you're literally like playing detective and like you're analyzing their work and matching it with their symptoms. And then it's definitely very empowering when you get to the root cause of something, and particularly for the patient as well. Like when they finally figure out, oh, that's what that's where it all started. That is definitely like a very, I guess, empowering and very rewarding for the patient. So what about, you mentioned a little bit on breaking bad habits. So do you want to sort of, I know that's something that like, I guess all of us were in lockdown. So I guess some of those bad habits may be coming to surface a little bit more than usual. So what about like some, what are some strategies and steps that you've like, you know, integrated to help people with some of those bad habits?
Yeah. So for me, the, instead of me just saying, I know everyone knows the 21 day rule of you need to do it 21 days. For me, when I teach my clients, I explain to them the science behind why we need to do something for a certain amount of time. So when it comes to our brain, and this is really cool to understand. Now, this is a very like easy overview of how the brain works when it comes to like creating habits. We want to create any type of habit, neurons connect and become very, very close. So I always say to my clients, like, you want the neurons to become like best friends, and they're connected by what's called a synapses. So in order to get those neurons to connect, i.e. if I wake up every morning and have my bone broth, I need to perform that every single day to connect those neurons. Now, what happens overnight, and again, this is why sleep is so important, because your brain goes through a filtering process. So basically, it's so efficient. The brain is remarkable. It goes through all your habits that you currently have, and anything that's not strongly connected, it goes through what's called a process called synaptic. So basically, it cuts off the synapses of what's binding the neurons. And that separates, and then that habit stops. So if I was really good for, like, say, for example, 3 or 4 months, I just get up and have my bone broth, don't think about it. There's neurons, so the brain knows that's essential. It's part of my subconscious. It's like brushing my teeth. So the brain knows that's a priority. It's needed for survival. But if I start, okay, one day didn't have it, 2 days didn't have it, 3 days didn't have it, now I'm having it twice a week, those neurons start disconnecting, and basically that is telling the brain that's not essential, it's not important. So then it will cut that off and basically break that habit. So I think it's super important for, and again, that's just a very, very basic overview. It's much more complex, but if you can understand that, you're more inclined to want to stick to a habit. So once you understand that, instead of me just saying, okay, cool, you need to walk, we're in lockdown now, we need to make sure that, you know, we work and create a routine. You don't understand that you need to do it every single day with frequency, then it's not going to happen. And this is what happens with a lot of people who have tried diets before. You try it, you do it for a week, doesn't work, and you say, it doesn't work for me, I'm not doing it again. So you haven't allowed the brain to do its process of making it a habit. So that's basically the first thing I teach is educate. And then when it comes to creating habits, it's about sustainable change. Too much change, your body resists, your brain resists. I'm very big on human needs as well. So one of our human needs is certainty. So if we are changing so much, it's too much change for the body, it needs certainty. So this is why, for example, females will go back to the same guy even if they've treated them bad, or you go to the same diet, you know it doesn't work, because your brain knows the outcome, even though it's a negative outcome. It's a comfort for the body. So this is why small changes are optimal changes. So you want to start very, very slowly. So for example, if I have someone who has no idea about nutrition, doesn't know what to eat, start with basics. Like, I just want you to have 2 good meals a day, not even 3. Breakfast and lunch is yours. Dinner, eat whatever. And then once that becomes a solid habit, let's go to 3. And then we start looking at maybe adding in some walking before even at like starting training. And this is why I say it's not a 12-week process. So if you don't have a good foundation and you're expecting all these changes to happen in 12 weeks, you're pretty much kidding yourself and setting yourself up for disaster. So, and I think this is why a lot of 12-week diets don't work, and we have yo-yo dieting, because for 12 weeks, you're expected to completely change your whole life. But then after the 12 weeks, your body goes back to your default setting, and your default setting is all your previous habits. So that's one thing you need to change. You need to create a whole default setting. You need to create a whole lot of habits in your subconscious, because the habits you do now are part of your subconscious. So they could be negative. Waking up, going on Instagram, that's part of your subconscious. You need to be self-aware before creating, changing those habits. Mm. So it's probably the most complex part of any fat loss journey is creating habits. As easy as that sounds though.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. Definitely one of the hardest things, I guess, anytime somebody wants to approach a new diet, and also the expectations that we have, and in particular with some of the like aggressive dieting strategies, they can be they can be really damaging to, I guess, people's morale and really affect their relationship with food, like you mentioned at the very start. So what, I guess, like from a performance slash body composition perspective, I know you don't really spend much time in that realm, like with high, like bikini modeling and things like that, unless you do. I don't know. Are you spending much time in that space, or?
I personally bikini myself, so I did that for about 5 years, but I don't take on clients to comp prep. The only time I ever would is someone who's been with me for a good 1 to 2 years. I know they're in the right headspace. I know they're on high calories. Then I'll feel comfortable with it. But it's not really something I specialize in, so it's not something I really specialize in and probably don't want to, actually.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Unless it's myself. I'm happy to muck around myself, though.
Self-experiments, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess from a sustainability aspect, what can somebody, I guess, if their goal is like progressive, sustainable fat loss, and they're willing to commit to it for many, many months, what is a realistic, I know it differs like for individuals, but like what's an approach that is at least going to be sustainable? Like, are we talking, I don't know, like 500 grams per week, or like what have you seen in that realm?
Yeah, so for sustainable fat loss, you're looking at around 500 grams to a kilo per week. Obviously it will start to be that kilo per week at the start and then drop back gradually, but this is where listening to your biofeedback markers are so important, because if you go into a diet, yes, a diet is when you're eating less than your maintenance, yes, you will get fat loss, but you will eventually plateau. But the important thing you want to think into your body. So what happens all the time, and this is where your fat loss journey then plateaus, and then it turns into a binge eating cycle because you're not getting results anymore. So by listening to your biofeedback markers, you can tell when your body needs to be refed with more food. And this is where sustainable fat loss or healthy fat loss is possible. So every week my girls complete their biofeedback markers. So it takes them like 5 or 10 minutes. But one, it's a really good reflection on their week. Have they been compliant to their steps? Have they been training? Have they been doing their mindfulness activities? So it allows you to be like, oh, I've been doing everything really good, but I haven't seen the results. You can actually put pen to paper and see, okay, no, I didn't hit all my steps. So biofeedback markers is your hunger, it's your libido, it's your sleep, it's your energy levels. All of that is so important. So what generally happens is I go on a diet or someone goes onto a diet, then we get so exhausted, our sleep starts to be compromised, we start waking up, start getting agitated, we start snapping at our partners, we keep pushing through, which people call mental strength, which I have my own definition of that, but that's, yep, mental strength, push through, keep eating the deficit, and then all your hormones start down-regulating. And then all of a sudden, you can't lose weight, but you're on 1,500 calories. So then you remove more. And then that's where you go through what we spoke about before, the whole metabolic adaptation. So what you want to do for sustainable fat loss is, one, reverse diet yourself. So you're starting at a healthy set point. So I like to get my girls to 2,200 as a minimum. Generally, I like them around the 2,500 mark, and then diet them down. So that way they're dieting down on 1,900 calories. Which, if you're 1,900 calories, you're still producing enough hydrochloric acid for digestion, enzymes are being produced, you're getting enough nutrients in, because when you're in a deficit, you're also in a nutrient deficit. So that's something to be mindful of. So you want to make sure that, yes, you can go into a deficit after you've been reverse dieted, and then when you start feeling the sleep compromised, you start feeling your libido drop, you start feeling you're snapping more and sort of agitated, you want to refeed. So you want to increase your food, specifically carbohydrates, given that you're eating enough protein and fats, the minimum that you need. You then want to increase your carbohydrates to restore all your hormonal markers. So you can either do two things, like a refeed of 2 to 3 days, or you can go on a diet break. So I like to, it depends for me on the psychological state of my client. Are they incredibly sick of dieting? Or if they just, you know, just need to rebalance their hormones a little bit, it'll just be a 2 to 3 day break. And then you can go back into a deficit after that. So at least you're going, and that's what becomes a sustainable health or fat loss journey. So it's about listening to your body and forget the whole mental strength of pushing through and start reconnecting with your body, because that's what we've forgotten how to do. We don't know how to eat anymore. We don't know what to eat. So the important thing is now teaching my clients like how to actually listen to their body and tell me when they need to be refed, as opposed to me saying, no, you're fine, keep going, push through, like toughen up, princess. Like that type of mentality needs to go in the industry.
Yeah. I would have to agree there. That sort of entrepreneurial mindset of like just push through and grind it out, the hustle mentality. Whilst I think it can be beneficial under certain, like certain conditions and circumstances, applying that to everyone is like, it's a critical, it's going to cause critical damage. So definitely something people need to be way more aware of. And in particular, in regards to like the people you hang out with, just be careful their mindset, because that's definitely contagious, you know, that, that mentality. So what about, you also discussed a little bit on confusion around food. Where do you think majority of that sort of stems from, the like lack of just complete confusion?
Oh, a couple of things. So first of all, social media. social media is probably the biggest thing that affects our knowledge of sort of what to eat. So it contradicts things. So keto, high carb, low carb juices, fasting, like it's absolutely exhausting and it's not really personalized for your body. So that's where I think a lot of the confusion comes from. But then I also think there's a bit of a hit and miss or a disconnect between like sort of how I teach, which is very functional compared to if you go to the doctor or the GP and they'll just say, yep, cool, just take out carbs or, you know, just go on this pill. So there is a massive disconnect because we trust GPs, but we're not getting enough sort of education around what nutrition. So for example, like if someone comes to me with PCOS or endo or any hormonal condition or thyroid condition, straight away GP is more being inclined to like prescribe thyroxine or some sort of medication without really addressing, so what should you be eating for your body? So that's where it can be conflicting as well. It's like who to trust in the industry. So I would say there's two main sort of reasons why it's so conflicting. And the third, probably actually really important, is, you know, influencers now, which all for influencers, I'm great that we have them. It gets people motivated. But what works for that person might not work for you. And this is where it's really, really important to understand what works for your body. So this is where I tell my clients to unfollow everyone that can cause like a negative association with themselves and just follow those who positively inspires them, who generally offers education that's not, this worked for me, so you should do it too. Like, for example, I actually feel sorry for you. Like 10 o'clock at night when I was in a bit of a mood about Adele and her fat loss series. I was watching it on Nine News or something, and she went on a 1,000-calorie diet, phytonutrients, which basically is just like eating healthy. But she went on 1,000 calories. Like 1,000 calories is probably my breakfast. It is insane. So, of course, this went on the news. So millions of women around the world will probably, cool, I need to go on 1,000 calories. Then, as we spoke about, downregulate all your hormones, the whole binge eating cycle happens. And like another example is like Oprah, she came out with a thyroid issue. Now, everyone has, you know, most women think they have a thyroid issue. So celebrities and influencers have such a big impact on women. And this is why I'm a big believer in limiting social media and being very controlled with who you follow as well. Otherwise, it's confusing. I've been there.
It definitely is. That's really interesting. I didn't know that about some of those influencers like preaching some of those like the 1,000 calories. Like, that's insane.
So insane. Like, I would be so grumpy on 1,000 calories. I've done it before. I was like a zombie. Crazy.
So, I guess you also discussed a little bit on, like, now you're placing much more emphasis around, like, that self-love and, you know, building up that self-confidence and things like that. So what I know that I've got, you know, people in my circle that have their own strategies to really, like, nurture that and build up that self-love. But what are some of the things that you like to, you know, enforce and encourage with your clients?
Yeah, and I like to say, like, self-love is not something where you wake up and just say to yourself, you're beautiful, you're this, you're that, because your brain doesn't really work like that. Like, yes, fake it till you make it. So tell yourself you're beautiful, but it's so much more complex than that. So a good thing I like to say is, like, especially when it comes to fat loss, don't expect to love yourself at the end when you've dropped the weight. There's much, much, much more going on. So it's about understanding, for example, why you want to have fat loss. Dig deeper to the why. People tend to want to change their appearance because of other triggers. And a lot of the time when I dig deeper with my clients, it's like a fear of losing their partner or a fear of what people think of them. So it's about understanding one person's trigger, first of all, and then there's so many ways we can, like, for me, self-love is choosing to put good food in my body. That's an act of self-love. So we want to be doing acts of self-love throughout our day, because that's when we start to fall in love with ourselves. And I always say, like, I am a very secure person. I never wish to be anyone else. Was I always like this? No. Is it like a cocky type of thing? No. People generally need to have self-love to feel secure in their body. So especially if I was to get pregnant, like, my body's going to change. But I'm okay with my body changing because I'm very happy with who I am. I'm very happy with my body. So I'm doing a fat loss series soon where I'm personally going to go through a fat loss journey. Haven't done it since I competed. I'm in a position to do it because I'm very secure. I love my body no matter what, so I can demonstrate a healthy fat loss. So some things I like my girls to do is, one, journaling. Gratitude journaling is so important. We want to change our perception on things. So a lot of the time we have negative self-chatter, which is constant. It's like a constant battle. So one thing I always say to my girls is, every time you have that negative chatter, I want you to imagine that you're talking to someone else like that. So you would never say to someone, oh, you're so fat today, you're so bloated today, like, what's wrong with you, why are you so dumb? You would never, unless you're a horrible person, you would never, ever say that to a person. So first it's about being self-aware of your own negative thoughts. And then I start teaching what's called, I don't know if you've ever heard of, like, there's books called, like, The Chimp Paradox, and the Monkey Mind is a really good one. So it's about, like, listening to the voice in your head and calling bullshit on it when it's saying these negative things. So a big thing I teach is, your thoughts are not true. Mm. Your thoughts are simply things that you've created, which is a figment of your imagination, and you need to start calling BS on things that aren't true. Because if I sit here and say, oh God, I look so fat today, that is not true. That is an opinion I've created to reality of someone else looking in. They'd be like, God, no, not fat. It's really important to understand and become self-aware with the negative chatter going on in your head and start to override that process. So start to change the negative chatter to positive chatter, which comes into sort of rewiring your whole brain process. So we're mainly negative because it's easier. It literally fires less neurons to be negative. So people default to that because it's an easier solution, whereas we want to change that to positive. So the thing I get my girls to do is morning and night, even if it's just gratitude journaling, writing three things that happened in their day that they're grateful for, three things at nighttime, and starting to do journaling. And also future journaling is super, super powerful as well. So they're probably the main things I look at when it comes to learning to start sort of loving yourself. So definitely journaling, understanding the self-chatter in your head, as well as sort of doing acts of self-love. So moving your body to feel good, eating to feel good, you know, meditating because you know you need to calm down, things like that.
Yeah, there's some absolutely golden nuggets there. They're really really beneficial. I think a lot of my listeners are going to love to hear a lot of those things. So really, I really think they're very empowering suggestions, and it's so important, I guess, like particularly in the realm of like this whole fitness space and like general health and well-being, like it really is, it does come back to the mindset, and to have these tools to then implement them and to understand that the food that we eat is going to be affecting our thoughts. If we can educate people and tell them like this is what's going to happen if you don't have enough proteins, what's going to happen if you don't have enough carbohydrates, things like that, it's going to affect your hormones, then it's going to affect your sleep, and then you're just struggling. You wake up and you're like, I've slept poorly, and you're wondering why you've got all these negative thoughts. It's so important to be like to understand the bigger picture, like the real, the holistic picture.
And you touched on something important there as well about like nutrition. Nutrition plays a big part in self-love, which people don't really make that connection. But of course, like if we're not eating the right nutrition, our neurotransmitter production is compromised. So we're not making as much dopamine or serotonin, which are our two key main players when it comes to one, confidence and, you know, that can-do attitude and that drive and motivation. And then two, serotonin, which makes us feel sort of calm and happy. So if our nutrition or lifestyle, aka stress and everything, is not optimal, we then downregulate all those neurotransmitters. So then we're, you know, trying this and trying to do that, but not like biologically being able to create or produce dopamine or serotonin, then that's going to affect the whole process as well. So yes, nutrition is absolutely key when it comes to self-love too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we're getting to the end of the show, Laura. It's been phenomenal having you on. I think, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of value here for my listeners. So did you want to like leave your socials, let people know where they can find you or work with you?
Yeah, for sure. So, you can jump on my Instagram, which is just Laura Morell Wellness. So I'll be posting a lot more of what's coming up. So I will have like a website soon. I'm pretty behind in everything, and I'm developing a course at the moment as well. So a lot more is going to be sort of published on there. But the best way to contact me would be through my Instagram at the moment. And I've got an application form. So if you are looking to find out a little bit more, you can always just fill in the app form on my Instagram.
Awesome. And also for those listening in, this is just another little reminder that I also have my free sleep masterclass that you guys can join. Seeing as though we discussed a little bit on sleep, make the most of that, because I built that from scratch and I've presented it at a few seminars and things like that. So yeah, definitely check that out. You'll be able to find that on my website, ergogenic.health. But thanks. Thanks so much for joining in today, Laura. It's been it's been a pleasure having you on. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you so much. I loved it. Thank you.
It was good. It was great. All right. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Awesome. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a No Filter Media production.
Say what you want.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.